This is the reading for September 25th. Jeremiah chapter 31. The Lord says, "At that time I will be God of all Israel's family groups, and they will be my people." This is what the Lord says. "The people who were not killed by the enemy's sword found help in the desert. I came to give rest to Israel." And from far away the Lord appeared to his people and said, "I love you people with a love that will last forever. That is why I have continued showing you kindness. People of Israel, I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt. You will pick up your tambourines again and dance with those who are joyful. You will plant vineyards again on the hills around Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit. There will be a time when watchmen in the mountains of Ephraim shout this message, 'Come, let's go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord our God.'" This is what the Lord says. "Be happy and sing for the people of Jacob. Shout for Israel, the greatest of the nations. Sing your praises and shout this, 'Lord, save your people, those who are left alive from the nation of Israel.' Look, I will soon bring Israel from the country in the north, and I will gather them from the faraway places on earth. Some of the people are blind and crippled. Some of the women are pregnant, and some are ready to give birth. A great many people will come back. They will be crying as they come, but they will pray as I bring them back. I will lead those people by streams of water on an even road where they will not stumble. I am Israel's father, and Israel is my firstborn son. Nations, listen to the message from the Lord. Tell this message in the faraway lands by the sea. The one who scattered the people of Israel will bring them back, and he will watch over his people like a shepherd. The Lord will pay for the people of Jacob and will buy them back from people stronger than they are. The people of Israel will come to the high points of Jerusalem and shout for joy. Their faces will shine with happiness about all the good things from the Lord: the grain, new wine, oil, young sheep, and young cows. They will be like a garden that has plenty of water, and they will not be troubled anymore. Then young women of Israel will be happy and dance, the young men and old men also. I will change their sadness into happiness. I will give them comfort and joy instead of sadness. The priests will have more than enough sacrifices, and my people will be filled with the good things I give them, says the Lord." This is what the Lord says. "A voice was heard in Ramah, a painful crying and deep sadness, Rachel crying for her children. She refused to be comforted because her children are dead. But this is what the Lord says. Stop crying. Don't let your eyes fill with tears. You will be rewarded for your work, says the Lord. The people will return from their enemy's land. So there is hope for you in the future, says the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. I have heard Israel moaning, 'Lord, you punished me, and I have learned my lesson. I was like a calf that had never been trained. Take me back so that I may come back. You truly are the Lord my God. Lord, after I wandered away from you, I changed my heart and life. After I understood, I beat my breast with sorrow. I was ashamed and disgraced because I suffered for the foolish things I did when I was young. You know that Israel is my dear son, the child I love. Yes, I often speak against Israel, but I still remember him. I love him very much, and I want to comfort him, says the Lord. People of Israel, fix the road signs. Put up signs to show you the way home. Watch the road. Pay attention to the road on which you travel. People of Israel, come home. Come back to your towns. You are an unfaithful daughter. How long will you wander before you come home? The Lord has made something new happen in the land. A woman will go seeking a man. The Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says, I will again do good things for the people of Judah. At that time, the people in the land of Judah and its towns will again use these words, 'May the Lord bless you, home of what is good, holy mountain.' People in all the towns of Judah will live together in peace. Farmers and those who move around with their flocks will live together in peace. I will give rest and strength to those who are weak and tired." After hearing that, I, Jeremiah, woke up and looked around. My sleep had been very pleasant. The Lord says, "The time is coming when I will help the families of Israel and Judah and their children and animals to grow. In the past, I watched over Israel and Judah to pull them up and tear them down, to destroy them and bring them disaster. But now I will watch over them to build them up and make them strong, says the Lord. At that time, People will no longer say the parents have eaten sour grapes and that caused the children to grind their teeth from the sour taste. Instead, each person will die for his own sin. The person who eats sour grapes will grind his own teeth. Look, the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new agreement with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. It will not be like the agreement I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt. I was a husband to them, but they broke that agreement, says the Lord. This is the agreement I will make with the people of Israel at that time, says the Lord. I will put my teachings in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. People will no longer have to teach their neighbors and relatives to know the Lord, because all people will know me, from the least to the most important, says the Lord. I will forgive them for the wicked things they did, and I will not remember their sins anymore. The Lord makes the sun shine in the day and the moon and stars to shine at night. He stirs up the sea so that its waves crash on the shore. The Lord All-Powerful is His name. This is what the Lord says. Only if these laws should ever fail, says the Lord, will Israel's descendants ever stop being a nation before me. This is what the Lord says. Only if people can measure the sky above and learn the secrets of the earth below, will I reject all the descendants of Israel because of what they have done, says the Lord. The Lord says, the time is coming when Jerusalem will be rebuilt for me, everything from the Tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The measuring line will stretch from the corner gate straight to the hill of Gareb. Then it will turn to the place named Goah, the whole valley where dead bodies and ashes are thrown, and all the terraces out to the Kidron Valley on the east as far as the corner of the horse gate. All that area will be holy to the Lord. The city of Jerusalem will never again be torn down or destroyed. Jeremiah chapter 32. This is the word the Lord spoke to Jeremiah in the 10th year Zedekiah was king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was surrounding Jerusalem. Jeremiah the prophet was under arrest in the courtyard of the guard, which was at the palace of the king of Judah. Zedekiah, king of Judah, had put Jeremiah in prison there. Zedekiah had asked, "Why have you prophesied the things you have?" Jeremiah had said, "This is what the Lord says, I will soon hand the city of Jerusalem over to the king of Babylon, and he will capture it. Zedekiah, king of Judah, will not escape from the Babylonian army, but he will surely be handed over to the king of Babylon, and he will speak to the king of Babylon face to face and see him with his own eyes. The king will take Zedekiah to Babylon, where he will stay until I have punished him, says the Lord. If you fight against the Babylonians, you will not succeed." While Jeremiah was in prison, he said, "The Lord spoke this word to me. Your cousin Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, will come to you soon. Hanamel will say to you, 'Jeremiah, you are my nearest relative, so buy my field near the town of Anathoth. It is your right and your duty to buy that field.' Then it happened, just as the Lord had said. My cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the guard and said to me, 'Buy for yourself my field near Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. It is your right and duty to buy it and own it.' So I knew this was a message from the Lord. I bought the field at Anathoth for my cousin Hanamel, weighing out 7 ounces of silver for him. I signed the record and sealed it and had some people witness it. I also weighed out the silver on the scales. Then I took both copies of the record of ownership, the one that was sealed that had the demands and limits of ownership, and the one that was not sealed, and I gave them to Baruch, son of Neriah, the son of Messiah. My cousin Hanamel, the other witnesses who signed the record of ownership, and many Jews sitting in the courtyard of the guard saw me give the record of ownership to Baruch. With all the people watching, I told Baruch, 'This is what the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says. Take both copies of the record of ownership, the sealed copy and the copy that was not sealed, and put them in a clay jar so they will last a long time. This is what the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, says. In the future, my people will once again buy houses and fields for grain and vineyards in the land of Israel.' After I gave the record of ownership to Baruch, son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord God, you made the skies and the earth with your very great power. There is nothing too hard for you to do. You show love and kindness to thousands of people. But you also bring punishment to children for their parents' sins. Great and powerful God, your name is the Lord All-Powerful. You plan and do great things. You see everything that people do, and you reward people for the way they live and for what they do. You did miracles and wonderful things in the land of Egypt. You have continued doing them in Israel and among the other nations, even until today. So you have become well known. You brought your people, the Israelites, out of Egypt, using signs and miracles and your great power and strength. You brought great terror on everyone. You gave them this land that you promised to their ancestors long ago, a fertile land. They came into this land and took it for their own, but they did not obey you or follow your teachings. They did not do everything you commanded, so you made all these terrible things happen to them. Look, the enemy has surrounded the city and has built roads to the top of the walls to capture it. Because of war, hunger, and terrible diseases, the city will be handed over to the Babylonians who are attacking it. You said this would happen, and now you see it is happening. But now, Lord God, you tell me, buy the field with silver and call in witnesses. You tell me this while the Babylonian army is ready to capture the city. Then the Lord spoke this word to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of every person on the earth. Nothing is impossible for me. So this is what the Lord says, I will soon hand over the city of Jerusalem to the Babylonian army and to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who will capture it. The Babylonian army is already attacking the city of Jerusalem. They will soon enter it and start a fire to burn down the city and its houses. The people of Jerusalem offered sacrifices to Baal on the roofs of those same houses and poured out drink offerings to other idols to make me angry. From their youth, the people of Israel and Judah have done only the things I said were wrong. They have made me angry by worshiping idols made with their own hands, says the Lord. From the day Jerusalem was built until now, this city has made me angry, so angry that I must remove it from my sight. I will destroy it because of all the evil the people of Israel and Judah have done. The people, their kings and officers, their priests and prophets, all the people of Judah and the people of Jerusalem have made me angry. They turned their backs to me, not their faces. I tried to teach them again and again, but they wouldn't listen or learn. They put their hateful idols in the place where I have chosen to be worshipped, so they made it unclean. In the valley of Ben-Hinnom, they built places to worship Baal so they could burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to Molech. But I never commanded them to do such a hateful thing. It never entered my mind that they would do such a thing and cause Judah to sin. You are saying, because of war, hunger, and terrible diseases, the city will be handed over to the king of Babylon. But the Lord, the God of Israel, says about Jerusalem, I forced the people of Israel and Judah to leave their land because I was furious and very angry with them. But soon I will gather them from all the lands where I forced them to go, and I will bring them back to this place where they may live in safety. The people of Israel and Judah will be my people, and I will be their God. I will make them truly want to be one people with one goal. They will truly want to worship me all their lives for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an agreement with them that will last forever. I will never turn away from them. I will always do good to them. I will make them want to respect me so they will never turn away from me. I will enjoy doing good to them, and with my whole being, I will surely plant them in this land and make them grow. This is what the Lord says, I have brought this great disaster to the people of Israel and Judah. In the same way, I will bring the good things that I promised to do for them. You are saying, this land is an empty desert without people or animals. It has been handed over to the Babylonians. But in the future, people will again buy fields in this land. They will use their money to buy fields. They will sign and seal their agreements and call in witnesses. They will again buy fields in the land of Benjamin, in the area around Jerusalem, in the towns of Judah, and in the mountains, in the western hills, and in southern Judah. I will make everything as good for them as it once was, says the Lord.
Chapter 5.
Now that we have God's approval because of faith, we have peace with God because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Through Christ, we can approach God and stand in His favor. So we brag because of our confidence that we will receive glory from God. But that's not all. We also brag when we are suffering. We know that suffering creates endurance. Endurance creates character, and character creates confidence. We are not ashamed to have this confidence because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who's been given to us. Look at it this way. At the right time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for ungodly people. Finding someone who would die for a godly person is rare. Maybe someone would have the courage to die for a good person. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. This demonstrates God's love for us. Since Christ's blood has now given us God's approval, we're even more certain that Christ will save us from God's anger. If the death of His Son restored our relationship with God while we were still His enemies, we're even more certain that, because of this restored relationship, the life His Son lived will save us. In addition, our Lord Jesus Christ lets us continue to brag about God. After all, it is through Christ that we now have this restored relationship with God. So, sin came into the world through one person, and death came through sin. Death spread to everyone because everyone sinned. Sin was in the world before there were any laws, but no record of sin can be kept when there are no laws. Yet death ruled from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin in the same way Adam did when he disobeyed. Adam is an image of the one who would come. There is no comparison between God's gift and Adam's failure. If humanity died as the result of one person's failure, it is certainly true that God's kindness and the gift given through the kindness of one person, Jesus Christ, have been showered on humanity. There is also no comparison between God's gift and the one who sinned. The verdict, which followed one person's failure, condemned everyone. But even after many failures, the gift brought God's approval. It is certain that death ruled because of one person's failure. It's even more certain that those who receive God's overflowing kindness and the gift of His approval will rule in life because of one person, Jesus Christ. Therefore, everyone was condemned through one failure, and everyone received God's life-giving approval through one verdict. Clearly, through one person's disobedience, humanity became sinful, and through one person's obedience, humanity will receive God's approval. Rules were added to increase the failure, but where sin increased, God's kindness increased even more. As sin ruled by bringing death, God's kindness would rule by bringing us His approval. This results in our living forever because of Jesus Christ, our Lord.